Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love Him. I love His ways. I love His will. I love His people. I love His purpose and how He does all things. The Lord is good, and His return is imminent. I thank the Lord for these days of grace. We're still in grace, and grace will last until Jesus parts the sky. And when the rapture happens, He's moving His people who are ready out of the way, and judgment begins. But when the vile judgments happen, He's judging the satanic organizations, the satanic governments, satanic people. And there will be people who survive. God always has a remnant. He will protect His own. But the satanic will be destroyed. All of them. Now, but I thank God that we still have time to minister His word. A lot of things have gone wrong that shouldn't have gone wrong, and the Lord tried to prevent it all along, all throughout time. He always raised up people to encourage people to do better and come out of darkness. And this has been going on way back in the days of Adam. God was doing the same thing. In every generation, the Lord was pleading with people, raising up people to plead with people to repent and turn from evil. But now you got people teaching people that you can live how you want to and do whatever you want to. If you're a man, you can marry a man if you want to, and God will still receive you into His kingdom. Well, if you repent, yes. If you don't repent, if you live in sin, no. You excluded yourself. But the pastors is getting rich and being paid to say all these evil, teach all these evil things. They think they got it made, and they don't. It goes back to Isaiah 29 and 30. They had a covenant with death. They made a covenant. They tried to make a covenant with death, and the Lord showed them it's not going to work. Knowledge is good when you have the knowledge of God. But false knowledge in the name of the knowledge of God it doesn't mean anything. You have to stick with what Jesus said. If you deviate, you're going to have trouble. Unnecessary trouble. And that's what I don't want to happen at all. I want God's people to know Him. When I learned to seek the Lord, when I started seeking the Lord, I started learning things. And every time I learned something, I was inspired to learn other things. And when I found myself in trouble I didn't understand, I would plead my case to the Lord, and He would show me how to deal with it. And people are crying out. They have all kind of issues and problems. Because when you come out of the world, you come out of darkness, and when you come out of darkness, you don't know everything. And it takes learning God's word to counter it. So, here we are. Now, Jeremiah had a situation that he was very concerned about. And, you know, he pleaded to the Lord about it. And that's what you have to do sometime. And also, I want to let you know, today is January the 4th, 2022. For the record. I always wanted to share the dates with the files. It gives people a reference of when it was done. But there's not much room on a little file to let you know that. So when I think about it, I add it in there. All right. Jeremiah 12. This is Jeremiah asking the Lord a question in verse 1. Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore do the way of the wicked prosper? And wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? That's a good question. And he wanted to know. Because sometimes people say, well, the righteousness of God will prosper and the wickedness will not. And that's not true, because they can prosper anyway, because God is good. But let's look at what God had to say. And you're also looking at the mindsets. When you have a mind to follow God, a mind to honor God, the concept of the opposite is hard, because just like we pointed out in Titus 1, chapter 1, that Paul said that to the pure, all things are pure. Just look at it. That's worth looking at. And that's something that's gonna that has always puzzled me. He said, unto the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Now watch verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. This is hard to come up with. Paul did this by the Holy Spirit. This is very difficult to come up with on your own. No matter what you go through, no matter how you process life, this is a. These two verses, verses 15 and 16 in Titus chapter 1, is very hard to come up with. You find out, and you know, you can't understand the logic of evil if you have a pure mind. And if you have an evil mind, you can't understand the logic of purity. So this may help us with, I think this will help us with what we're looking at in Jeremiah 12. Because to, you know, the unbelieving mind, nothing is pure. Everything turns out reprobate. So again, Jeremiah asked the question, righteous art thou when I plead? Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee? He found God to be righteous when he pleads with him. Yet, let me talk with you of your judgments. Now, again, Jeremiah may not have understood what I just read in Titus, because I said it's hard to come up with. It inspired these questions. Because if he knew that, he'd know what he was asking for. He said, yet let me talk with you, my Lord, of thy judgments, of your judgments. Wherefore doeth the way of the wicked prosper? How are they prospering? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. Now he got that part right. They say they know the Lord, but in works and deeds, they deny him. Then he said this, but thou, O Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Because those that love God, God will try you. And then he'll give you assignments. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. That's what he wanted. He wanted them to be removed. Then, now watch verse 4. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. See, it goes back to authority. Man has authority and dominion over the earth. So when people do wickedness, the earth, it interferes with how the earth functions. If they're landowners and they kill people, it affects how the land will produce for them. How long will the land mourn? Droughts. And the herb of every field wither. See, droughts come. The curse causes will not come. But if you cause it to come through evil, it will come. And the Lord showed me how tornadoes are formed one night. He gave me a heavy dream. In this dream, I was standing on the cloud and I saw a tornado come out of heaven. I'm on top of the cloud. This tornado was the size of a mountain upside down. That's what it looked like, an upside down mountain. It was huge. And out of the bottom part, the funnel that touched the cloud, thousands of tornadoes came out and sat on the cloud spinning. And when they all stopped, they were soldiers. They looked like soldiers. They were very tall compared to me, about 15 feet tall. I'm just like looking at a telephone post. And they looked evil. And you could tell they were fallen angels. You could tell they used to shine. They were made of brass, but they were dingy looking like an old doorknob. But you could tell in their original state they used to shine with the glory of God. But they became evil. And they looked kind of like the Swamp Thing, that old crazy Hollywood movie they made years ago. They looked evil. And then they all sunk in the cloud like military men. When the first one reached his destination, way beyond me, the last one reached his destination right next to the tornado that came out of heaven. And they were all in military formations facing the same direction. The one closest to me didn't look at me. He didn't pay me any attention. It was like I wasn't there. He didn't care whether I was there. His mind was on what he was going to do. And then they all sunk in the clouds. And that's how tornadoes come. They had a right to do it because people on the ground were doing evil. And Satan accused them before God. And they had debt. They had spiritual debt on their life on the ground. Through their murders, their abortions, their adultery, their witchcraft, and every other thing that people do that's wrong. And this is the sin of society that gave place to Satan, and he wants his place. And he got sanctioned from heaven to come and do this destruction. It couldn't be stopped because they took his bait and they did evil on the ground. And then he said, I want to destroy them. They had evil on their life. They had spiritual debt on their life. Now, this is way back in, 94, I think it was, when the Lord gave me this. And they sunk in the cloud. And I woke up. And I said, see, the gift of discerning of spirits operates in my ministry. And I'm looking at all this. I said, Lord, what was that all about? And the Lord helped me discern it. He said, they are spirits of chaos. And I understood that they got permission to destroy because of man's evil. It goes right back to what Jeremiah's saying here. Jeremiah understood this fact too. When you spend time with the Lord, you start understanding things. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. When people think that God ain't watching, they do stuff. And so the enemy uses leaven to get people to this point. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And so when people are sanctioning things that's wrong, as if it's okay with God, they always think whatever they're doing is not going to be affected by God. They think God is all right with it. Sin is very deceptive. It changes your nature. It changes you at the heart level. It develops its own appetite and drives out the appetite of the love of God. The love of Jesus means nothing to so many people right now that say that they're born again. They will sue each other. They will fight each other. They will divorce each other at the drop of a dime. They will disown their children, disown their parents, divide from among each other, get in strife, and kill each other with words, not with bullets, with words. They slander people's character. And this kind of leaven causes all kind of problems for Satan to use against them, just like in that tornado I saw. And see, when the tornado come through, it looks, the land looks like some giant came with a weed eater and cut down trees and it cut down houses, burn up stuff. It's just terrible. We have angels that watch over us, but the angels can't stop. If we choose to sin and live a life of ragged sin, it gives place to Satan. The Lord said, give no place to Satan. There's no reason for sin. There's no reason to do others wrong. There's no reason to be in strife. No matter how people treat you or dishonor you, the Lord didn't dishonor you. He gave you his life. And he gave you life. That life is much more abundant than the wickedness of men. So, let's look at it. Let's look at this again. This is very important. He said, how long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither? Because everything on earth follows man. For the wickedness of them that dwell therein, the beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. Now remember, when you begin to sin, just like in I think it was, oh, it's Psalms 1 in the 50s somewhere, it says that when people sin, there's no changes. There's no immediate changes. God is still good to people. He don't stop being good just because you start being bad. He's trying to woo you out of the evil. And he sent people to warn you because he loves you. Not you, I'm saying. That's how he does people. That's how he does mankind. I'm not saying you're evil. But anyway, if we get off track, he tried to get us back on track. First by the Holy Spirit convicting us of our sin. And then he have our friends and family to warn us because we don't seem to get it. But God is also looking at the destruction that's going to happen. Not to mention the protocol he has for wicked people. And he don't want that to work against you. He wants you to repent. Not saying that you need to repent. I'm just saying that's how he does us. He loves us. So you can't go by what you... When you see people prospering and they're obviously wrong in their ways, that's just the goodness of God. But Jeremiah is asking the question. Because of these things, remember, the logic of the pure and the logic of the froward are two different things. The wicked, that's two different things. Now here's God's response. Jeremiah wanna know why. Let's talk about your judgment. They're doing good. Then he went through verse 4. How long will the land mourn the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwell, you know, the whole thing. The beasts are consumed, birds, because they said he should not see our last end. Now here's the Lord's response to all that. To Jeremiah, if thou hast run with a footman and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if the land of peace, and if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? See, if you run with footmen and they weary you, how are you going to deal with soldiers on horses? And then, you know, and in the land of peace where you trust, what you going to do when the Jordan swells up? You got to gird up the loins of your mind and your heart. Because with the wicked are guaranteed to do wickedness. Now watch what the Lord told him. He showed him something much worse than what he knew about. Verse 6, for even thy brethren and the house of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak foul words to you. Then he said this, they are so wicked in their heart, he has to do something about it. So in verse 7 he said, I have forsaken my house. I have left my heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of their enemies. Now this goes back to Matthew 25, talking about the wise and foolish virgins. Here again, You got pure people. Pure people. Five were wise. They were pure in heart. They loved God for real. And five had drifted. And they ran out of oil. They started loving the world. They became an enemy to God. When they went to buy oil for their lamps, the Lord came and caught them off guard. The bridegroom came. Now, he likened this to a Jewish wedding. You know, I don't know Jewish wedding culture, but it was something that they could understand. In other words, those that are wise and those that are wicked, he's going to catch the wise on guard and the wicked off guard. Because to the pure, everything's is pure. But to those that are wicked, nothing's pure. And they have reputation without function. They don't love God in truth. And in every work, they're reprobate. This is the problem. People get to that point through the leaven of Herod and the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. All right, they have pride with that. The knowledge they have, they didn't add to it brotherly kindness. They got in pride over what they knew or what they thought they knew. See, he said, add to your faith virtue, the virtue kindness, brotherly kindness. They didn't do that. They did it backwards. They instead of adding to their faith virtue, they got in pride. And they got in lust and greed, things like that. That's how they got off track. So the Lord said, I have forsaken my house, verse 7. I have left my heritage and given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Then he said in verse 8, my heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me. You see that? That's not the love of God coming back to God from his people. They're roaring against him. Therefore have I hated it. He hates their condition. Now he has to judge it. People that he wants, that he care about. He said, my heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the earth, of the field. Come and come to devour. Then he said this. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. The leaders led the people astray. The blind leaders of the blind fail them. Sin caused people to be blind to their sin. They're alive to sin and dead to God, and they don't realize it. But they have a reputation for being the people of God. But to every work, they're reprobate. And they don't see, when they see pure people, they want to destroy them, just like the Jeremiah's brothers. You know, and people born in his own father's house. Now, these were just men of the city. They were dear to him at one point. But now they want him dead. See, friendship with the world really does cause you to be an enemy to God. For no apparent reason. Proud people have a problem with pure-minded, pure-hearted people. And pure-hearted people, to them, the proud people are pure too. So they trust them. But then they get betrayed. He said, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. If they had better leadership, that wouldn't have happened because they trusted these pastors. And then they became like them. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man lays it to heart. No man lays it to heart. That's another problem. No man lays it to heart. This has been going on for a very long time. I want to explain something. I said, when I was, I put a sign up at the church, said dirt for sale. When you have a loving pastor, a man that loves God, God would move in his behalf. The Lord told, I guess the Lord said, speak to the mountain. He said, what are you talking about, Lord? Next to our, the church owned property, they had good, rich, red dirt. And the Lord said, sell the dirt. So I had volunteered to make the sign. I made the sign. I was putting it up. You know, big old 8x16 sign says dirt for sale. And see, people, there are pastors out there that just love God, and God opened doors for them because they love him from the heart. While I was putting it, that it's not about the sign or the dirt for sale. While I was actually doing that, I had a question. I said, Lord, you said that in the last days, the tares would be bound in bundles to be burned. And I'm putting the words on the sign, you know. How does that, I said, how does that work? And he explained it to me. See, the people that wouldn't repent, all the pastors that wouldn't repent, and the churches that wouldn't repent, God gave them over to their way. In 2012, it happened in 2012. The Lord separated the sheep and goats. The reason he did that, he couldn't get them to repent, and he had to go into his judgment protocol. In this verse, verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard and have trodden down my portion underfoot. They have made pleasant my pleasant portion of desolate wilderness. See, when people get off track, they vex people that love God. And when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, they vexed his soul. Pure-hearted people are vexed when, if they go to a church and the church starts going rogue, they get vexed and they got to get out of there. But the leaven that caused them to go rogue, it attracts people that are leavened. He explained this to me. And all of them, when they're wrong, they don't have the peace of God anymore. So they want solace in each other. If a church gets into lust, for instance, it'll start attracting that spirit of lust and people that are in that are secretly in that mode of thinking. If they get in pride, they attract the proud. And if it's greed, they attract greed. Whatever it is, if it's pride, they attract, you know, pride. And the people that will congregate and pay them to preach smooth things are collected. And it's you know, and it vexed those that appear. And God moved his people out of there, out of that firestorm that's about to happen. And a lot of people that are pure, even they may have family members that want to keep going, but they can't go no more. They're not coming back to that, to evil. And then you got people that love the world, and they go to a pure-hearted church, and they don't like that. So they go, they get collected in one of these churches where they're preaching what they want to hear. The great falling away is what I'm talking about. See? And the Lord showed me how it worked. I didn't know. I had to ask. So when people are doing things that's wrong, they try to hide it. They always try to hide, and they want solace in others that think like them. Like the old proverb, the birds of a feather flock together. That's not a David proverb or a Solomon proverb. That's what people see all the time. And they're bound in bundles to be burned. They wouldn't repent. God had to do something with them, or they're going to destroy the whole church. See, he said in verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. So God is protecting the vineyard by allowing them to vex those that really love him, and he separate them. See, in 2012, the Lord told me to pray. He said, I'm doing something in the spirit. There's something happening in the spirit. So I prayed for those that followed God and also those that didn't. And there was a reason I did that, because years ago he taught me the difference. He stopped me and said, only pray for those who follow me. So here I am. I start from that time. That's how I've been praying. But Henry Gruber, he had a radio show. He was a guest on a radio show called The Sheep and Goat Nations. You can listen to it on YouTube. And the men went in the prayer room, and the Lord told them the same thing. He was dividing the sheep from the goat nations. It had to happen that way. So the Lord's been doing, and there's a great revival. And he's using people that love him. This revival is individuals. I talked about that yesterday in that dream. Okay, verse 11. They have made it desolate. Being desolate, it mourneth to me. The whole land is made desolate because no man lays it to heart. They're not watching what's happening. The spoilers are come upon the high places through the wilderness, for the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass that after I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Very important to trust the Lord in these days. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. But this is a day you must trust the Lord your God.